verse 7 through 10. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, everybody said much more. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Praise God. Salvation started out with his death, and then after salvation, it became our salvation through his life. Amen. I think in one place he said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Praise God. Praise God. I want to talk about the love of God this morning. Amen. God loves us. God loves you. Praise the Lord. He is for us this morning. Let's pray and let's ask for the help of the Lord as we approach the Word of God here this morning. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the touch of your Spirit this morning. Lay your hand upon us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. One of the things that the apostle did here in Romans chapter 5, in expressing the love of God, he expressed it in human terms, and so that we could get an idea of how much he really loves us. And it starts out in verse 7. We read verse 7 here. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. And he is talking here about love in this world, the love that men have for one another, the confidence that men have one for another. In one place, we find in history here back in the 80s, some of you probably remember this, when John Hinckley attempted to assassinate Ronald Reagan. Some of you might remember that, some of you may not. But they were coming out of a building, and this young man that had mental issues came out of nowhere with a pistol and began to fire at the president. He actually did hit the president and wounded him, and he had to go to the hospital and spend, I don't remember how long it was. But there was a number of other people that were shot in that assassination attempt. One of their last names was Brady, and he was shot in the head. All of them survived, but he had brain disorders from that day on. Some of you may remember this, but I pulled up a little clip of that situation, and it was a live thing, and when the shots began to be fired, they pushed the president toward his car, and one of the men stood there with his arms opened out, trying to shield the president, and literally took a bullet and was shot because of his trying to save a good man. Amen. And you don't see that very often. You don't see that in our world where people are willing to go all the way and give their life for another human being. It would probably be easy to understand the love that a mother has for her children, or the love that a father has for his children, that they would lay down their life for their children and go all the way for their children. We can understand that, but that is a paternal love. But I doubt seriously this morning if there are very many of us who would look around and say, I'm willing to give my life for another person here this morning. On top of that, if we went outside of the church and we went to the neighbors across the street that we don't know, or somebody that lives down the block, I'm sure there would be none of us here this morning that would be willing to lay down our life for those individuals. I hope you'll help me here this morning. If we went further and we went down to downtown Wichita, where there are many homeless people, you could magnify this, what I'm talking about here this morning, that there would probably be no one in the city. There would be no one anywhere that would be able to lay down their life or would lay down their life for someone who is derelict and someone who has hit the bottom. And Paul starts out here in Romans, and he talks about this. I was thinking about David and his mighty men, and I want to just read it from the scripture this morning. If you'll indulge me today, 2 Samuel chapter 23, 2 Samuel chapter 23. And it's a story about David, King David. And he was a good man. He was a very popular, a very good warrior. He was a leader of leaders. He was a man that stood tall among men. In 2 Samuel chapter 23 in verse 8, Scripture lists all of these men, all of the mighty men of David, 37 of them all together, and these were 37 men that were accomplished, men that, you know, when their names were spoken, people would say, oh, that's a mighty man. That's one of David's 37 mighty men. And verse 8, it says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800. Everybody said 800. That's a lot of folks. Amen. Rose up against 800, and these were not just people. These were warriors whom he slew at once. And so he went out with a spear against 800 men and slew every single one of them. And he was elevated to the chief seat. He was under David. And so you can see here how great these men were. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. David had three men underneath him. When they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned only to spoil. Amen. What a great man he was. And I just want to go down here and try to give us an understanding of commitment and love and dedication. And so here he fought so long and so hard that his hand was cramped, and it was on that sword, couldn't get rid of that sword. A great victory, and the people followed him like someone might follow a combine. Amen. This guy's plowing ground, and people are falling all over the place, and They came only to spoil and to strip the bodies of whatever it was they needed. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils, a ground that was growing beans, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Amen. What a great group of guys that he had following him. And, it's easy once you begin to follow someone that is great like this to fall into jealousy or fall into, that feeling like, well, why is he in charge? I could do as good a job or a better job than him. But that never happened here with David and his mighty men. They stood with him. They were very accomplished. And then it goes on down. I'm not sure which verse it is. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three, and he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them, and had the name among the three. Was he not honorable of the three? Therefore he was their captain, howbeit he attained not unto the first three. And so there was another three that were renowned among them. If you saw them coming down the street, all of these 37, you would, the hair on your back would stand up. You would say, these are men that are killers. They are different than ordinary people. They're very accomplished. They've done things that nobody else has done. And they are aligned with the king. Not only do they have physical abilities, but they have the king to back them up with the laws of the king. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. He slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But when he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. You can just picture it in your mind this morning, some of the things that these men had done. And a lion-like men, went down also and slew a lion in the pit. Now you're talking about a killer against a killer, amen. And lions that were in the pit were lions that were hungry. It wasn't a kitty cat, amen. We were on our way to church this morning and stopped at the post office to put a letter in the mail. And sitting there, I saw two cats. You know how two cats fight, a cat fight. And we were about to see a cat fight. And so we just sat there and watched this fight going on. These little critters are mean. And they were both hunched up, and they were looking at each other, and you could tell by their mouths they were making their noises. Their tails were puffed out, and they were swishing back and forth. And one of them inched closer and closer and closer until all of a sudden the explosion took place. And I guess I've heard cat fights before, but I never have seen one. And I mean to tell you now, it was pretty dramatic. Fur was flying everywhere. Amen. And then they stood back up and they were about ready to do it again. And I honked the horn and they took off. So I had to get to church, but it was really cool. Amen. And, You know, you go down into a pit where there's a lion. I'm not talking about a kitty cat now. I'm talking about a big cat, a hungry cat, a meat eater. Amen. One that didn't care if you lived or died. Amen. And went down there and slew him in the time of snow. Could have been slippery down in that pit. And there's snow on the ground. And this lion was upset because he had snow all over him. He was stuck in a pit. And here comes this man threatening him. And he slew him. Just kind of gives you an idea of the great men that were around David. These things did Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard. So here he's got a position within these 37. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem. Shammah, the Herodite. Elikiah, the Herodite. Helaz, and it goes all the way down and names all of these men. The last one on the page here is Uriah the Hittite, a very famous man, very loyal man. It doesn't say here what he did or how he attained to the 37, but there's Uriah the Hittite. And and showing the loyalty that these men had for their king. If you'll go back, and I don't have the actual verse here, but somewhere in 2 Samuel 23, between verse 8 and probably verse 39, or verse 30 rather, David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men, these are his most important men, the ones that he depended on. Three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew out water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord, and said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Now we're talking about men that had the ability to break through the garrison of the Philistines, but not only that, men who had the capacity for great loyalty. Amen. And it's inspiring when you see that. You don't really see that a lot in our generation today. Amen. We don't see that in our political leaders. We don't see that anywhere where people are willing to commit themselves. You don't see it on the job. You don't see it in very many places. But here are the 37. In fact, Uriah the Hittite literally did give his life for his king, and it was murder. The king murdered him. There was murder in the heart of David. And yet these men were willing to lay down their lives and give their lives so that their king could just simply have a drink of water. Think about that this morning. David poured it out upon the ground and said, "I can't do this." I don't remember the name of the message, but Bishop Johnson preached here quite a while ago, and he preached about the water, how these men poured out the water, and it was a tremendous message. You should get that and listen to that message. Amen. And we got to ask the question, where can we find that kind of commitment today? You can find it, but it's a forgotten thing, mostly only read about in books, heroism and dedication and commitment. I read about one soldier in Vietnam, and I don't have the details here, but they were in a very hot battle, and one of his men was shot and wounded, and he picked him up and threw him over his shoulder and went back so that he could be medevaced out, went back into the fight, and there was another one. He picked him up and carried him out, and it was something along the lines of 23 of his men that he saved in that one battle and risked his life so that he could save that one man. In his mind, he thought it was just one man. And so we do see it every now and then, and it's very inspiring when we do see it. Somebody said amen. Amen. We do see it every now and then. It's a very rare thing. And yet Paul is writing here in Romans chapter 5, and he says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God," everybody said, "but God." But God, now you're talking about a different thing here. You're not talking about three mighty men going after a drink of water, but you're talking about someone here who has the ability to defeat any enemy. He can do anything. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. And not just that, he is holy. Amen. God is a holy God this morning. And he is not contaminated with sin. He does not have any sin. In him is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so here we see Paul writing about God. "But God commendeth," or God shows, God expresses his love toward us. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, is the love of God. Amen. You may not find love, true love in this world, but you can find the love that is in God. Amen. "God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. And when we read this about David's mighty men, well, you could look at it and say, you know, these men were fighters, but not were they only fighters, they were conquerors. They could defeat an enemy. They could destroy the enemy. But yet, when we were enemies, if you go down to verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And so when we were enemies, now I was talking about loyalty here of someone that you love. It was said by one of his mighty men, don't go to battle because something might happen to you. And they said, "You are worth 10,000 of us." Amen. You talk about loyalty. You talk about commitment. You talk about all of that. But if it came to the enemy, their swords were drawn real fast. When it came to the enemy, they lifted their spear up in a defensive or offensive way and were willing to plow in and destroy anything that was against them. Isn't that the way that our flesh is, the way of the world? We build our aircraft carriers and our destroyers, and we build guns, machine guns, cannons, tanks. We build all of that because we are threatened by an enemy. How foolish we would say in our mind would it be for all of us to lay down our life for our enemies and become communists as they are in China or they are in Russia. Amen. We have some great, great enemies. The sworn enemy of Israel is Iran, and they have threatened to wipe Israel off of the map. And so Israel has acquired nuclear bombs, bombs that will destroy an entire city, amen, that would literally level their country to the ground, amen. Fighter jets, tanks, weapons, and all kinds of things to protect them from their enemy. And I know that we need to have peace and security, but what we're talking about here this morning is a spiritual thing, amen, and what God did for us while we were enemies. If God thought the same way about things as we do, he would have destroyed us a long time ago. Because all have sinned. We were all enemies of God. You say, well, I love God, and I've always loved God. That's wonderful, but I'm telling you what, we were the enemy of God when we were in sin. Amen. We were the enemies of God. And these men, when they had an enemy, they would destroy that enemy. That's what we do in this world. That's what humanity does. And somebody said here just recently, some professor, for whatever it's worth, said we are about 100 minutes away from total destruction. The clock that they say is almost to midnight because of the proliferation of weapons and weapons of warfare that's in our world. Amen. It's quite unsettling when you begin to think about it. One little pull of a trigger in the wrong place, and we could be in a major world war. Amen. And it wouldn't be the same. It won't be the same as it was in our other wars. They're literally looking now at eliminating their enemies in a standoff position where you can fire a missile or fire some high-tech situation and destroy your enemy without even getting close to him. That's where we're at in our generation today. Amen. We saw the enemy of the United States and the Middle East brought to justice with a Hellfire missile. Think about that. A Hellfire missile. And somebody said they figured there was four of them that were fired. And this leader among the terrorists and some of his other men were eliminated and destroyed. That's the way we think about things in this world. And that's the way we operate. But God, amen, aren't you thankful for that this morning? But God, now we're talking about a different arena, amen. We're talking about a different situation here when you put God into the mix, amen. God commends, or God shows us, amen, his love, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, amen. He went to Calvary and took on my sin and took on your sin because of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it was more than just his son that he gave. He gave himself. 1 John 3:16. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God in that God laid down his life for us. And I'm not saying this morning that God died, but what I am saying is that God was in Christ, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. And so all the way up to the point where Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The God that created him in his mother's womb, the Father, the God of all creation and of all time, left him, but he went all the way through the trauma of the cross. You know why? Because he loves us. He loves you this morning. Amen. He has commended, or he has shown the love and the commitment and the loyalty and all of the faithfulness that he could do. Amen. There wasn't anything else that he could do. He went as far as he could go to show us and to help us to understand, amen, how much he really loves us. And do you believe that God loves you this morning? You say, well, I'm not really sure. Well, I want you to know God loves you this morning. Amen. There is an eternal love. There is a love here that we cannot comprehend and that really we cannot achieve to. It is a divine love. It is a love that is supernatural, something that we cannot possess because of our nature, because of the nature of this flesh. Amen. We cannot attain to this kind of love where we would literally give our life and lay down our life for our enemy. Somebody said, praise God. Praise God. I don't understand it. I don't know what he saw in me. I don't understand what he saw in anybody that he would be willing to lay down his life. Amen. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now that's the point where we start out understanding and building a relationship with the Lord through his love. And it says, much more than being now justified by his blood. That's where it starts right there. It starts at the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ. Amen. It says that he became sin. Actually, every sin that all of us have ever committed, and think about that. There are billions and billions of people on this earth, every one of them committing sins, and he who was sinless took upon himself all of the sins of the world and became sin. Oh, I can't imagine that. I cannot understand that. I don't know what he saw in me, but he saw through the eyes of love. Amen. He saw through the eyes of eternity that we would spend eternity somewhere, and he wants us to spend eternity with him. Well, praise God. God loves you this morning. There is an eternal love that God has expressed to us this morning. Amen. And by being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. We ought to praise God for that. Amen. We are going to be saved from wrath through him. Somebody said, are we going through the wrath of God? No, we're not going through the wrath of God. He's going to take his people out of this place. Amen. And the rebellious and the iniquity and wicked of this world, amen, are going to face the wrath of God. Scripture says the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Amen. Somebody said the wrath of God will be as amazing as his grace. Amen. And you will not be able to stand when the wrath of God comes. Amen. But we're not talking about the wrath of God this morning, except to say that we were saved from the wrath of God. Praise God. Not sitting here this morning with a big, bad, mean God waiting to knock my head off. Amen. I'm not here this morning. You're not here this morning to worship a God who is so unconcerned and disconnected from his people, a God who sits, amen, the Bible says the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. It's easy for the enemy of your soul to get you to think, amen, that God is a God that is way out there and he really doesn't care about your life. I'll tell you this morning with confidence, God cares about your life. Amen. He cares about the little things in your life. He cares about the big things in your life. We serve a God this morning who loves us. Amen. We're saved from wrath when we came to the altar and repented of our sins and was baptized in Jesus' name for the remission or washing away of sins. Amen. Annette was baptized last Sunday night. We're thankful for that. Praise God. Amen. Saved from wrath. It's not just a matter of obeying a certain way of being baptized, but when you are baptized in water by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ, not in titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says it is for the remission of sins. And Scripture says, he that sinneth shall die. Amen. In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Amen. Eternal death is for the sinner. But I'm telling you what, we were saved from the wrath of God and an eternity without him when we were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the blotting out, for the remission of sins. But it doesn't stop with baptism. Amen. Peter said, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That which is flesh cannot enter the kingdom of God, but that which is of the Spirit is going to enter into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Paul said that if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. Amen. We've got to have the Holy Ghost. You've got to have the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen. And when you have God's Spirit inside, it is the love of God that has been expressed to you. Amen. It's not just a little feeling that you get when you come to church. And at the beginning of the service, I felt the Holy Ghost so strongly here. Amen. It was like I was in a capsule and every part of me was feeling the Holy Ghost this morning. I don't know how you feel about it this morning, but it thrills my soul, amen, that the God of the universe would come down and touch a wretch like me, amen. Some folks take it so casually, and I don't understand that, and I pray that I never do understand that, because without him, I can do nothing. Without him, you can do nothing this morning. Amen. But with him, we can do all things. The reason you're here this morning is because God loves you. God loves you. Amen. And he instituted this salvation. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. I hope you're receiving this here this morning. And I pray you're feeling God this morning. Luke 19 and verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. We all know the story. which was the chief among the publicans. Amen. The chief among the publicans. He was rich, and he was a tax collector. He was the supervisor of the tax collectors. Amen. Now, if you want to put it in perspective, he was the director of the IRS. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. He was the one that oversaw taking money from people. Amen. I'm not against taxes. Don't misunderstand me. But it would put Sister Tiffany out of a job if we didn't have taxes. And he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And they, when they saw it, they all murmured, you could hear them mumbling in the background, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine the holy God of eternity, God who's never had a beginning and he'll never have an ending, praise God, came down to a tax collector, a man who had become rich on the backs of other people. Amen. Had very many, many things in this life. And when his opportunity came, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I can't imagine what was in the mind of Jesus Christ. And I can't imagine what he saw when he looked up into that tree, the tree that he had created. Amen. The man that he brought into this world. And there was the creature, the one that he had put into existence, and looked up at him and knew his name and said, Zacchaeus, amen, come down. I need some lunch and I want to come to your house. Praise God. Amen. Get ready and fix some lunch. We're going to sit down at the table. Praise God. And I can only imagine, I don't think they talked politics. I don't think they talked about the weather. Amen. I don't think they talked about anything in this world. But when they sat down to lunch, no doubt the Spirit of God, through Jesus Christ, began to talk to his soul. Amen. Are you really happy, Zacchaeus? Are you really fulfilled, Zacchaeus? Do you really feel like this is the way you want to go in your life? And no doubt the presence of God and the Spirit of God moved upon him. And he said, this day I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. And this day I'm going to go back and find everybody that I've done wrong and taken money from, and I'm going to give them four times what I got from them. Amen. Nobody preached a message to him. He didn't have to fall under conviction, but he probably did fall under conviction. Amen. Because he was in the presence of Almighty God. I can think that it was probably like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 when he said, I saw the Lord. Amen. And when he saw the Lord, he said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. This is a prophet that the word of God came off of his lips, and he said, I'm a wretched man. I'm a miserable person. Amen. I've seen the Lord. He's given me a gracious moment in time that I might see him. And here we are this morning. Praise God. And God has given us an opportunity one more time to be in His presence. Amen. I'm not here because of you. I'm here because of Him. Amen. I came this morning to do His will. Amen. To seek His face today. Praise God. I can only imagine the feeling in the hearts of, or the heart of Zacchaeus as he heard the voice of the Master say, "I'm coming to your house." Amen. If you know Him this morning, you're right in the same position as Zacchaeus was. He's come to your house. He's come to your house. And instead of being like those who murmur, amen, those that say, "Well, he's not doing right. We think he ought to do this. We think that he needs to come to one of our houses. Why is he going to that house?" Amen. And they were probably jealous and saying in their heart, "Why is he doing this?" I'll tell you what, this morning, I'm thankful for when God does anything for anybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful when you're healed. Amen. I'm thankful when you get a raise on your job. Amen. I'm thankful when you're blessed by the Lord. It doesn't take anything away from me, but it adds to all of us. Praise God. And I pray for your blessing, and I pray that God will bless you greatly, and God has blessed you greatly, not because of my prayers, but because of His love. Amen. And because of your faithfulness to God, the blessings of God begin to come down. Amen. And so he went to Zacchaeus' house. "Make haste, come down," and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. Oh, God, help us here this morning not to see the move of God, but to see the love of God. I want to see a move of God. Amen. But I'll tell you what we need to see more than a move of God is we need to see the love of God. Amen. What we need to see is God's favor towards us. Amen. God commended His love. Amen. God showed His love to us, and He went all the way for you and I. Amen. And we cannot sit here this morning with our own thoughts and our own ways and say, "This is how I'm going to do it, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is where I'm going to go, and this is what I'm going to accomplish." The Bible says all such talk is sin. You know why? Because we take away the will of God in our lives. I want the will of God. Paul had to learn that the will of God was for him that he would suffer. The Lord spoke to him and said, "I will show him what things he must suffer for my sake." Amen. Here was a man who was accomplished, had it all, but the will of God for him was to suffer. Amen. We don't want to go down that road, do we? We're thankful God suffered. Amen. But we're not willing to suffer. I'm telling you this morning, what we need to see is the love of God. And when we see the love of God, then we can love one another. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. I'm going to finish here shortly. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. "What shall we then say to these things, if God be for us?" Praise the Lord. That's not a question that says, I don't know if he's for us or he's not, but it's a statement of fact. Amen. It's a question that states a fact. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, or since God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. You ought to say in the morning when you get up and through the day, God is for me. Amen. God is for me. It's good to see Michelle here this morning. She was at her home church last weekend. And I talked to Brother Sora. I called him and told him that you were coming. And he was excited about that. And he said, she's a walking miracle. That's what he told me. Amen. God's a miracle working God. Amen. Are you a perfect person, Michelle? She's shaking her head no. Amen. If I asked any of us here this morning, are you perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But God in his mercy reached down and gave her something that nothing else could give her. Praise God. God is for us. We ought to say in the morning, God is for me. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. God is for me. God is for these young people here this morning. God is for every one of us here today. No matter how far we've gone away from God. Amen. And don't look at me like you're so holy this morning. Praise God. I've asked the question over the years, how many has sinned since you received the Holy Ghost? And I don't ask for hands to be raised because we want to protect everybody. Amen. But I can tell you this morning, my hand is raised. And yours is too. God help us not to ever get to the place like the Pharisees did and say, well, I'm not really worried about that one because they're a sinner. Amen. I think that as the theme of our church ought to be that when a sinner comes in the door, amen, and yes, there are sinners in this world. Everybody's not saved. And when they come through the door of the church, they ought to be the first person we go to and greet them and let them know that we're glad they're here. Amen. Praise God. I really do believe that. I do that, and I feel that because I remember when I first came into the house of God. Everybody had a smile on their face. And even if they were upset, they had a smile on their face. Amen. Everybody was greeting me with this smile. You know, when somebody greets you with a smile, you wonder, what are they going to try to sell me? Amen. Have you ever thought that? I've thought that before. And everybody comes up and shakes your hand and gives you a big smile. I thought, I wonder what's going to happen now. Amen. And it happened, praise God. They begin to dance and worship and praise God, dancing in the middle aisle. Folks were running the aisles. People were speaking in a language I'd never heard before. And then that preacher got up and began to preach. Amen. Had big old bushy eyebrows, looked like a mafia person. And I knew he was preaching right at me. I just knew he was preaching right at me. And when it was all over with, somebody came up. I didn't know who they were. And they said, you want to go down to the altar? I didn't know if they were going to have a human sacrifice with me or something. I said, no. He said, man, you just can't sit still when the Spirit's moving. And I said, I don't feel any spirit here. I'm very uncomfortable, and I'm ready to go out the front door. Amen. And I went out the front door and said, I'll never go back there again. Praise God. I didn't know how to spell Pentecostal back in those days. Amen. But now I is one. Praise God. Y'all look so excited this morning. I'll tell you what. We've got something that the world cannot rely on, and that is the love of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, nothing can be against us. Because we have the favor of God, that means God is for us, God is with us, and whatever comes up, if we go to Him, He loves us enough to help us. Amen. Just like the little ones that are among us. Amen. And they want their Baba. And it's time for their Baba. Or they need a diaper changed. Amen. We don't let them sit there very long before we get what they need. Amen. We're not going to let anything come between them and us. We love them. We protect them. We shelter them. We cover them. We feed them. We bathe them. Amen. We love them. Praise God. And the Lord is our Heavenly Father. Amen. Brother Mike, how long has it been since you started coming? Coming up on 2 years in May. We ought to give him a hand. Praise God. 2 years. They call it, in the world, they call it the terrible twos. But Brother Mike's not doing that. Amen. This is a good man. But did you know that when you're born again, you're a babe in Christ? And we drink milk and not strong meat? Praise God. We don't unload everything on the new ones. It's not wise. Don't give your child, Sister Rapidy, don't give him a ribeye this afternoon. Don't even give him a fork of it. Nothing. Amen. Just milk. That's all he wants right now. Actually, that's all he needs. You could kill that baby if you fed him some meat. And what we need to have is the love of God. Amen. I'm not here this morning because I wanted a title of pastor. Amen. I don't feel this morning like I even should be here this morning because I'm not worthy because of the things that I've done in my life. But I'm here today because of God's love. Amen. Brother Mike, don't ever forget that when you're going through your darkest trial, God is for you. Praise the Lord. Brother Keith, in your loneliness, don't ever forget that God is for you. Well, praise the Lord. Whatever you're facing, amen, and whatever you need from God, it starts with the blood, but then it goes to his life. We were saved from wrath by his blood. Thank God for that. But we are now saved by his life. That means that when I repented, that's not the last time I need to repent. That means that when I was baptized, praise God, that doesn't mean that's the end of my washing experience. Well, praise the Lord. I got that this morning. I'm going to preach on that here sometime. Amen. And when I received the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, I want you to know that was not the end of that experience. It goes on and on and on and on. Amen. We are cleansed on a regular basis. We are washed on a regular basis and never come to the place, amen, where we feel like we have arrived. He goes on and he says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Freely give us all things. Somebody said one time, we live beneath our privileges, and I agree with that. I think I live beneath my privileges. Amen. I really don't understand fully and completely the love of God. And I don't think anybody here this morning understands that. And then he says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" Amen. It is God that justifieth. Amen. This is a relationship with God that I have. Amen. If I know him and I can comprehend a little bit about the love of God, I can make it through anything. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Again, it's a question, but it's a statement. There's nothing. Shall tribulation? And the answer to that is no. Distress or high stress in your life? No. That's not going to separate me from God. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. You can put anything in there that you're facing this morning in your life, and you can say, God is for me in this. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. No, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And what he desires for each and every one of us this morning is that we will not come to him because we want him to conquer something in our life or conquer, you know, some prayer request that we have or situation that we are facing. Amen. When you come to him, praise God. He is there with open arms to say, come on, I want to help you. Amen. Jay Sean, he wants to help you with your studies. Deontay, he wants to help you with your work. Praise God. Whatever station in life that you find yourself, praise God. Young people, he wants to help you with your schoolwork. He wants to get right down to the details of your life and make you a conqueror. Not a conqueror of other people, but a conqueror of myself. Let's stand together this morning. God's love. Somebody said, God loves me. Amen. That doesn't mean that he overlooks sin. And he didn't overlook the sin of Zacchaeus. But when Zacchaeus stood up and made his declaration of repentance and what he was going to do with the rest of his life, Jesus said, this day has salvation come to this house. Praise God. Praise God. There's going to be a lot of people. Broad is the way. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many are going to go that direction. Because they've rejected God's love. They rejected the idea that there is a God. They've rejected anything about the church. Anything about the Word of God. Amen. And it doesn't mean that they are criminals or anything like that. There's going to be a lot of good people that are going to be in hell. There's going to be a lot of good people that say, well, I haven't done this, I haven't murdered, I love my family and all that. I'm telling you what, that does not encompass the love of God. That excludes the love of God. Well, I've taken care of my family. I've been faithful on my job. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. I've done this. I've done that. So therefore, I'm going to be saved. You've got to understand this morning, it's not what we do, it's what he did. Praise God. It's not what we do. And when we come in contact with him, we can't be like the Pharisee that comes to the front and says, oh, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like other men. I do this, and I do that, and I do the other. And I'm not like that man in the back. And he despised someone who was accepted by God. Well, praise the Lord. And he said, I'm glad I'm not like that man in the back. And then he went into this dialogue of everything that he had done. And the poor man in the back didn't even feel like he was worthy to be there. And he smote his breast and he said, oh Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy to even be in this place. I'm not worthy to get onto the second of the back row. I'm not even worthy to park outside and listen or see. Amen. Brother Mike, you felt that way when you were first contemplating coming to the church. I don't want to draw attention to you here this morning, but he said he drove by. Did you stop and listen, or did you just drive by when we were having church? He just drove by. Didn't feel like he was worthy to come in here. Very anxious about coming into the house of God. I'm telling you what, that's why salvation has come to your house. And if we ever lose that understanding of God's love, and not just his love, but our incapacity, our inabilities, everything that we have is not good enough. Amen. Do you feel that way this morning? That doesn't mean that we come into the house of God, with our heads down. The Bible says we should come with our hands lifted up. And I read the scripture that the other day that says that we should boldly approach the throne of God and find grace to help and mercy. Amen. Grace to help and mercy. Amen. I'm not worthy, but thank God he made me worthy. And the way to have a close relationship with God is to come before him boldly. Even if you've sinned, Lord, I'm so sorry I've done this. Please forgive me. Amen. I'm telling you today, God loves you enough to say, I forgive you. Let's lift our hands right now and let's talk to the Lord today.